standing in our midst, in our presence, and sitting at the round table with us for a short minute, a few short minutes, sharing his intent to provide support to us and partnering in the future. So as we go on with our program, I would like to talk a little bit about some of the things that we discussed there. Hopefully this was the first of a series of roundtable discussions over time that we will, as women veterans, start to take control over our lives. We talked a little bit about grassroots outreach and advocacy and their importance in the survival and well-being of women veterans. We covered a little bit about our goals and objectives and suggested that what is needed was partnerships within the Philadelphia VA and not to eliminate or to exclude the grassroots organizations from providing some much-needed support. We talked about program funding for grassroots organizations and the process for receiving sub-grants and other resources and partnering with the Veterans Administration and other government-funded NGOs. We talked about homelessness. We talked about the transparency that is needed within the veterans, VA medical facilities and service organizations and the services that they provide. Another issue was oversight and access to government source services and funding for organizations. We were just delighted that we were we had Ms. Levy from the General Services Administration, Bureau of Minority and Women Business Opportunities, because he was able to give insight as to where we were with getting veteran certifications and possible funding for veteran-owned businesses in the near future. So there was quite a bit of discussion. The plans were that they did go about 9/11, however, we were extended past 1 o'clock, leaving the place, and we were just grateful to have that network of people. I think that was a historic precedent event. In the city of Philadelphia, we had the women veterans who actually came to the microphone and shared some of their concerns, and we were just grateful to have them. Because the previous day, on Thursday, we had gone down in a bus trip to Washington, where we stopped at the Women Veterans Memorial, and we could not pry these women away from the guided tour. Our tour guide, whose name was Ogre, she was quite interesting in her delivery, talking about the displays where we had photos of women from since the beginning of women in the military, the Revolutionary War. We talked about the Civil War veterans and when the actual veteran women became a part of our military. And it was just a very intriguing educational experience. And then we were somewhat stuck on our where we were because there was a no move freeze, because Vice President Biden was there, placing a wreath on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. So it was just interesting that low dynamic. We could not move until he was all the dignitaries had left the grounds at Arlington Cemetery. But it was a very interesting still there. You had people there from all eras, and we engaged in some dialogue with some of them. But we were excited because there was a lot of things going on for women veterans, of course. The National Alliance of Women Veterans, of which I'm the founder and executive director, we believe that we have laid the foundation for some of the activities going forth now. And we have a lot of great ideas and activities that are planned to continue to take control over our lives and some of the activities concerning us. We would like to invite Mr. Cornell Brown, who is the president of the Dermatology and Optics and Merchants Association, as well as the executive director to Henry White CDC, who I believe it's been about 4 years, 3 years, that he worked as a liaison in a legislative capacity. And as we begin to share the platform, I think he's understood and that he's provided much-needed resources and has connected us to many avenues and venues that has continued to allow us to grow and to function as a viable and effective organization in the city of Philadelphia. So I'm glad to have had the opportunity to have also to participate in the roundtable discussion. I have to get his comments. Mr. Brown, we'd like to welcome you to the mic right now.
Good afternoon. And I would like to thank Dr. Santos for her advocacy and her for the women veterans. It was a pleasure to be at the roundtable with the mayor for the first roundtable, which I think is a historic event, where the stakeholders came together, shared their ideas on how to move the women veterans issues and concerns forward. I'm looking forward to not only the roundtable discussions, but the implementations of their ideas to help move the women veterans forward. It is remarkable work that Dr. Santos does as a legislative aide. I had no idea of the plight of the women veterans until she had educated our community about the plight of the female veterans. When you think of veterans, you always see the male face, but the females have a different issue and different concerns. And she has educated not only our community, but our elected officials, and have taken this issue nationally. And I just wanted to commend her and thank her for this effort she has done. And she has been engaged in this work for over 18 years. The roundtable discussion, the stakeholders came together and brought forth their ideas, concerns, so women veterans will not fall through the crack, through homelessness, unemployment, and even child care for their children. So there's many dichotomies in addressing the women veterans, and these are all concerns we laid out at the roundtable discussion, and which was very productive. And I was also privileged to travel to Washington, D.C. to the Women's Veterans Museum, which had a very interesting history of women and their contribution in war from the inception of the Army. It is a history that all should see and will make all Americans proud of women veterans.
Mr. Brown.
Yes.
I would like to know if you have any comments about what you believe from a civilian perspective. How do you think the women veterans play a role in the overall women rights and equality? Do you believe that that there's a difference in how women veterans should be addressed from what you've learned about women veterans culture thus far?
I believe so, because women veterans have served our country in a capacity to make all of us safe. And one thing I have learned is once you enlist and participate in the military system, you come out a different person. So I believe they have different issues and different needs and must need to be addressed. I believe the women veterans transition back to civilian life can help build up our community, our urban communities. And this is how I think they're different. They have expertise that they have learned through the military that they can translate on back into civilian life to help build urban communities.
A lot of the discussion aside from professionals, I believe that I haven't met you in a somewhat of a legislative or political climate. Do you believe that there is a responsibility, if you will, from our political leaders at every level? Or what do you believe that that I will say that in my experience, this is perfect my question. In my experience, there has been somewhat a disconnect between either the understanding of what women veterans represent or their role in society once transitioning back. And so that when we communicate to the elected officials that they believe that that's a responsibility that's at the hierarchy of the federal government, do you believe that having experience as a legislative component, do you believe that that is necessarily a responsibility of one part of government, or does it factor in at every level of government? Do you see that from your perspective?
From my vantage point, I see it as all levels of government, because the Women Veteran Aid is a constituent on all levels, the local level, the state level, and the federal level. All components should work together to help the women veterans. What I have learned is that most elected officials have to be educated on the women veterans issues. So that is the biggest dilemma I see, is the education of elected officials and legislation to help the veteran women transition back, achieve after serving, not becoming homeless, and to receive all her benefits.
The caller online too. So let's see. We can have this his comment from the caller that's online too.
Yeah, I'd like to apologize for the interruption. I don't know if we lost our caller on line one. If you would like to give us a call back, we'd be more than happy to discuss with you. We welcome all callers to give a call in to our live radio broadcasting at 1-310-388-9801. This is Women Veterans Speak. We talk about women veterans issues here in the city of Philadelphia, and we just had on the line Mr. Cornell Brown of Handy White CDC, who has become somewhat of a concerned citizen, if you will, for the plight of women veterans, and just observing and having some information that was from the various platforms that he's contributed to, and we're just grateful that we have the male population who are lending an ear. I thought it provided much-needed support to our community. Also on Friday, the roundtable, we had some men that were there, of course, from the Mayor of Philadelphia, Mr. James Smallwood of The Choice Is Yours, Dr. Arbeen Ziad, Dr. Celine, Mr. Harold Levy, just men that came out to support our agenda. And we were just so pleased that we have now a partnership with the male population, and they're not our veterans. We're just grateful to have their support. But now I would like to talk a little bit about where we headed. The next roundtable discussion, or at least discussion, will probably come in about the next 30 days, and we are inviting participants and those observers who have an interest to learn about what it is that we are doing, who we are. I do know that we have attracted many women veterans who believe that they can learn from having transitioned and may have run into some difficulties, that they can be empowered and educated through our forum. So we're just really looking forward to more discussion, and we're looking forward to adding value to those platforms so that we can be educated and empowered and not necessarily victims of the various components of war, the various aspects of transitioning, where the difficulties are compounded, are layered with the military experience. Sometimes we can't see our way through. So we're going to want to begin to empower ourselves in a way that we're taking control. We're taking control over our lives. And we're just going to take a two-minute break right now, and we'll be back to you shortly. Stay with us. We'd like to welcome you back to Women Veterans Speak. This is Kathy Santos. Today is Monday, November the 15th, and we'd like to thank you for joining us. I would also like to thank our sponsors for their portion of the show and allowing us to have the partnerships that we are growing and increasing. So we'd like to thank the Germantown Lee Hot Business Merchant Association, businesses that have participated in allowing the show to go forth. So we are thankful to all of our listeners, participants, our sponsors, and we're going to end our show probably in another 6 minutes, but we'd like to talk about where we're headed from here. I think that we need to plan what can happen, what is the potential for a women veterans organization such as the National Alliance of Women Veterans. As the founder, it is my goal and desire to have the type of empowering effort for establishing many different programs supporting our agendas, whether it's housing, employment, peer-to-peer networks. We want to own our own platform. We believe that we as women veterans can better interpret and understand our issues, and we should be probably at the table at many of these discussions where our issues are being shared and what plans are being made for us. So Women Nationalized Women Veterans are at present establishing ourselves to be empowered, to educate ourselves. And one of the focuses I want to begin is where we will take the roundtable discussion. We're going to be preparing a less than a 200-page documentation. And I think it's probably going to come in about three phases. The first phase is being Operation Women Veterans Rescue. And we will talk about Operation Women Veterans Rescue, because there are so many women who need to be rescued, having been disconnected from the services and the many transitional resources that will help them to establish themselves back in their hometowns or as normal quality, having lives of quality, and to exist and to function in society. So Women Veterans Rescue is going to be the first component to how we address where we're beginning from the Women Veterans Roundtable. And I want us to plan, and the callers that are on the line, that I want you to think about how you can then have this dialogue as to what would be an effective approach for dealing with women who have fallen through the cracks. They're incarcerated, they are homeless, and their pride is broken, they have no confidence. Where did you start? Of course, we know that as a woman veteran, we're taught to be motivated. We're taught some of the leadership skills that gives us the ability to go beyond the norm, if you will. We have met some of the most psychological and physical challenges that the world could command of us, and we have done those things. We've achieved some major goals. We've overcome many obstacles. Having to do what we need to do for our families. Many women join the military for many different reasons. But for those of us who have a desire to reach back, and they have to have women veterans who have lost their footing, if you will, or they have fallen through the cracks, we want to establish a phase one part of a three-part program. This is Operation Women Veterans Rescue. And we're looking to we will look to discuss further next week when we will be joined by some women veterans who we have become very supportive of and helping them to understand that their situation isn't what it is when they have not been empowered and educated about who they are as veteran women, but they have certain abilities that they can pull themselves up and this concludes the show. We just have a couple of seconds left. If I can leave my contact information, my name is Kathy Santos. I am the founder of the National Alliance of Women Veterans. Our website for information leading to other events and activities is www.nawvphilly.com. .webs.com. That's nawvphilly.webs.com. We can reach at 215-834-4228. Again, I'd like to thank Mr. Cornell Brown for his support and participation in our show today. And we'll look forward to having you next week when we talk about women veterans operations, operations rescue, operations recover, operation success. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.